And good morning. You're listening to WGBH's Morning Edition, 10 minutes now before 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning. And I welcome once again Arts Editor Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, today we begin with a Tony Award-winning musical by Cyndi Lauper, Kinky Boots.
Which just opened last night at the Boston Opera House, and it is fantastic. This plays through August 30th. Ooh. This is a show that just explodes with heart and sass and strength.
Sounds like Cyndi.
Exactly. It's the essence of her. And of course, that is the essence of the show, which is about Charlie. This is based on the 2005 relatively little scene film. But Charlie has just inherited his father's shoe manufacturing factory in Northampton, England, a very blue collar working class area. And he finds that his business model is failing. He can't sell the shoes. He must find something that's going to be different for him. And he comes across Lola, a drag queen, who gives him the idea of creating kinky boots. He can have a niche market that nobody else is making boots made for men that go all the way up to the thigh. And that becomes the heart of the show, is these two very different people, these two very different cultures collide. And really it becomes a story at its heart about finding yourself. And there's one great anthem in this show, Not My Father's Son, because both of these men are living in their father's shadows. Lola, who is this sparkly giant drag queen, she was supposed to be, in her father's eyes, a boxer. And of course, Charlie was supposed to be the successful businessman. So they're both finding themselves while reconciling, moving away from their father's visions of themselves. That's the heart, but this is just a great, great production. Terrific cast. I saw the original Broadway production that won the Best Musical, as you mentioned. This is as enjoyable. It just explodes. I think it's interesting to watch it in the post-Caitlin era and to see the audience so engaged in this story. It's a really fun night at the theater.
That's great. Kinky Boots, winner of 6 Tony Awards, now here in Boston. Next, we turn to Cape Ann Museum, which I don't think I've ever been to the Cape Ann Museum.
The Cape Ann Museum just had a big renovation, and they reopened last year, expanding their galleries. And I recently spoke to their curator, Martha Oakes, about a new show that they have. It's John Sloan Gloucester Days, and this is a show that's on view through November 29th, but it's a perfect summer show. John Sloan is somebody who isn't that well known as an artist, but, you know, and as I've shared with you before, Bob, I'm so always enchanted by these artistic circles. And John Sloan lived in Greenwich Village in 1912, moved there with his wife, and he was in it with all the great artists, Eugene O'Neill, Yeats' father. He went on to become a great prolific teacher to Jackson Pollock and David Smith. He was a socialist with his wife, which actually got him in quite a bit of trouble from time and time again. And so he would often depict people on the streets of New York and the human condition. But he went to Gloucester for 5 consecutive summers, 1914 through 18. And he painted Gloucester, the Gloucester that we know living here in New England, the beautiful ships, the harbor, the seascapes, the rocks, great cottages with their beautiful landscapes. So he broke away from what he was doing in New York, and this show celebrates that. But as I mentioned, because he was this teacher, because he was immersed in all of these artist circles, he was exposed very early on to modern European art. In fact, he was one of the first people to be one of the organizers of the famed 1913 Armory Show, which really introduced European modernism, right, the new wave of art, to America. So I spoke with Martha Oakes about how that exposure affected his work.
He was not only excited by the new style of painting and the emphasis on new colors and textures, but also on their work ethic and going out and finding things to paint, not waiting for it sort of to fall into his lap. And so when he came to Gloucester, he brought both of those things with him, a determination to get out and find subjects and interpret them in his way, and also to use new techniques for texture and color and composition.
All right, John Sloan.
And I should mention, too, that Martha Oakes, who you just heard, will be giving a gallery tour on Friday, August 21st. So you can see the paintings, and still a lot of what he painted in Gloucester is still part of the landscape.
Wow, that's great. Okay, now next we turn to another work of art, or missing works of art, the Art of the Con. And this is a book by the man who is head of security at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, and that's been in the news a lot again.
Yeah, well, it's interesting timing for Anthony Amore, who has been the head of security there for quite some time, not since the theft. He came in about 2005, but he has just written a new book called The Art of the Con, which looks at art scams, forgeries, and frauds throughout history. And I spoke to Anthony this week about his book for an upcoming episode of Open Studio. And first of all, the book is fascinating because these scams have been perpetuated throughout history, starting with Gilbert Stuart back in the 1700s. Really? Of course, Gilbert Stuart painted the iconic Washington. Portrait of Washington that's on the dollar bill that we know so well. But you see how justice has never really been served because these people get lenient sentences. So it's a great read. But while Anthony Amore was here, I took the opportunity to ask him some questions about the Gardner theft because, of course, there has been some new video released very, very recently showing an unidentified individual entering the museum, being allowed into the museum against security protocol the night before the theft. This is kind of a major revelation that we never knew that this happened before. So I asked him whether he believes that individual in the video is linked to the theft the following night.
I don't want to speculate because I don't know. I just sincerely don't know who that person was. So I can't say with certainty. What I can say is if you have an unauthorized person entering your institution in the middle of the night, almost 24 hours exactly before a heist occurred through the same door with the same guard on duty, you have to look at it as this is highly suspect. And this really deserves spotlight that we've given it.
I'll say, has it ever been answered why it took so long to see this surveillance video?
I asked him that. It's not something he can answer. He does work with the authorities, the Justice Department, and the FBI. In fact, he said right now it's about a 12-hour-a-day endeavor. They really want to have this wrapped up by the time Ann Hawley, the museum's director, who was director the night of the theft, leaves at the end of the year. But that is a very good question that has not been answered.
Okay, next we turn to, can I believe my eyes, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is returning.
Yeah, I just want to also mention about The Gardner. There's more news today that The Gardner has some roof leaks, and so they've just announced that they will be closing the second floor of the museum next year for an extended period of time while they fix these leaks. And they had to get permission from the Attorney General's office to be able to move some of these works into a special exhibition. I've been told that they suffered this winter like a lot of people. They will repair the parts of the roof that have been damaged. It's a three-phased process. Some works were damaged, not irreparably. Huh. They have been conserved by conservators and are back on the walls. So we have that to anticipate next year.
Okay, so quickly, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, Bob,
returns.
I'm so excited about this movie. I can't even tell. I had no expectations going into this. This is fantastic. This is absolutely based on the 1960s television
classic,
show.
Right.
It stars Henry Cavill as Napoleon Solo, the CIA agent who is unflappably cool, very dry-witted, and he is forced to team up with Armie Hammer's KGB agent. And this is all directed by Guy Ritchie. And so Guy Ritchie, of course, has this great, terrific vocabulary always in film and how he crafts film. So this all coalesces in that Henry Cavill and Armie Hammer have this really fantastic chemistry together. I mean, these are two great stars working at the top of their game. I think we're seeing them in a new light. It's this caper film that goes across the continent and ends in Italy as they're hunting down a Nazi rocket scientist before nuclear warheads explode. It takes place in the 1960s, so you have mascara and eyelashes and pocket squares for days. It's just super fun.
All right. I guess that's a recommendation. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And Open Studio tomorrow night?
We're actually back on the 28th. You can always visit us at wgbh.org/openstudio. But on the 28th, we make my annual Bone in the Berkshires sojourn, taking in Whistler's mother and the Nam Keg estate.
All right. Thank you so much, Jared Bowen, who joins us every Thursday morning right here on Morning Edition. Thanks, Jared.